grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson that we heard read a moment ago. It's part of me, but it's been a rough couple of weeks. But like it or not, I want you to know that our lives are filled with loopholes and technicalities. You can't get away from it. Truth be told, I don't think we really want to get away from it. Let's face it. For every loophole and technicality that we complain about, you know, those loopholes that let the other guy get away with something that we can't? Well, there are two or three other loopholes that we wouldn't want to be without ourselves. Without these particular escape clauses in our own lives, we'd end up looking like some really bad people. But that's just human nature, I guess. We like to find the catch that keeps the other guy in the wrong and something that makes us just really look good. We like to find the proverbial loophole that lets us escape the condemnation and punishment that rightly awaits us and instead paints us out to be, we're not so bad. Perhaps maybe we even look pretty good. Say so ourselves. So as we turn our ear to the gospel lesson that we heard this evening, we hear Jesus. He's continuing his remarks on the Sermon on the Mount. That's what the gospel has been for these last couple of weeks, about his Sermon on the Mount. And tonight, his remarks are about true faithful discipleship. Now that's important to remember because these commands we hear this evening, these sobering, cage-rattling, unsettling commands, these are not random little blurbs plucked out of some Old Testament lesson some long time ago thing, you know, that people seldom read anymore. These aren't some academic egghead's interpretation of a difficult translation. And these aren't fortune cookie fodder, Dear Abby advice, or some feel-good Joel Osteenism. These are the plain teachings of Jesus Christ himself to his disciples, which is me and you. Now, right off the bat, you probably hear a lot of law in the readings tonight. There's a lot of law in it. Some preachers, it's kind of tough to get some gospel out of the readings that we have for today. My sermon on Sunday should have really beat you up, but that's what the readings are for the lectionary. It's just the way it is, but there's gospel. So what Jesus says to us tonight goes beyond just simple law, though. He says, you've heard this said about murder, he talks about adultery, divorce, and taking oaths. But this I say to you, he says. And what he says about these four things is no joke, is it? Jesus takes it to a whole new level, a level that is basically unattainable and unachievable by us. But let me tell you something, and this might shock you, but Jesus isn't taking these commandments to a whole new level. He's not doing that. He's not adding to or amending any of these Old Testament laws. Jesus is actually closing up all the loopholes, all these escape provisions that man has inserted into these things, into these laws since the beginning of time. That right there is something to think about. The word of God himself, the God-man Jesus Christ himself, made flesh, is telling us exactly what he says and what he means in his law. There's no technicalities, no loopholes, and no gray areas here. Okay? As I said earlier, it's only natural, sinfully natural, for man to look for a loophole into this law of God. And that's exactly what Christ is getting at here when he's addressing his disciples that are gathered around him on that mountaintop. God had given his word to his people years before. He'd given his law to mankind long before this took place. And he gave his law to faithful preachers and teachers like Moses and Aaron, who did their jobs by telling people exactly what the Lord had meant. Well, unfortunately, time has gone by, and like everything else in life, time has elapsed, and as it did, the purity of God's word was steadily replaced with man's own interpretations, our feelings, our own trying to justify ourselves. So mankind began to take a look at the taut, straight line that was God's word and his will, and we started to weave it and twist it into loopholes and technicalities, looking for ways to not only excuse our own sin, but we look for ways to get in good with God and to keep his law. Technically speaking, we're trying to keep his law. I guess the old saying is true, give a man enough rope and he can hang himself. And Solomon was certainly correct in his assessment that there's nothing new under the sun. So you can just hear the same things today, can't you? You know, like, I've never physically murdered anyone in my life. I've never made off with another person's spouse. But I follow the rules right down to the letter. Yes, sir, I have. I've kept all the laws, and I've kept them all quite well, some of us will try to say. And then we add, that's got to count for something, doesn't it? I've been good. But we know the answer to that, don't we? None of this counts for anything. At least not in terms of our salvation. Now, before you look down your noses at the way that God's word was so selfishly twisted and corrupted then, we need to take a hard look at our own lives, okay? You see, Jesus isn't just talking about four specific problems here tonight. It's not like he had only four points of contention. No, these are just four easy examples in the gospel tonight that Christ uses to score open people's hearts. He's calling us out of our deluded self-confidence and calling us back to repentance. He wants us to know about forgiveness and life everlasting. So, I ask you this. Have you ever gossiped about anybody? If you have a Facebook account, odds are you probably have. But have you ever blown off going to church? You know? Now, what about premarital sex? Whether we commit it ourselves or whether we condone it. Maybe we even encourage it. Or how about while we still plead for some of those transgressions, we do have reasons for some of the other times we do those things, don't we? It's not gossip. It's not gossiping. That particular case, it was just telling others what was going on, you know. We make up excuses. Premarital or extramarital sex is just part of the social landscape these days, isn't it? And adultery is bad, but is all sex outside of marriage wrong? So what does God say? You notice I didn't ask you what you think God's word says, or what it should say. What does God say? There's no debate. He's very clear, and he is the one that's in charge. Notice as well that nobody asked about how any of this law clarification makes you feel like, oh, I'm sorry, this commandment of God hurts your feelings. I'm being sarcastic for a reason, but really, that's how it is. Well, I got news for you. You are sinners, so am I. Every man, woman, child born of Adam is a sinner. And we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's the thing here about Christ's clarification of his law, is that what he has said, his law, it's unachievable, it's unattainable for us. Period. We cannot keep God's law perfectly the way that God intends his law to be kept. Only Christ can do that. We always fail. That's where those deluding and corrupting loopholes begin to trespass into our lives, fooling us into believing that we're not that bad, or perhaps we're even pretty good and godly, at least better than somebody else. So why does Christ do this? Why does Christ do this in a gospel like this? Why does he make such a stern point about the law? He clarifies it. He clarifies it for us. You think he knows about the unrealistic trouble this causes? Yes, he does. He knows that it causes trouble in our hearts and in our minds. He knows exactly what he's doing. Now, I think this will probably sound a little bit strange, but he doesn't clarify and teach this to us to be mean. He does this because he loves us. He knows exactly what true saving faith is, what it does, and when it meets the harsh and brutal reality, what happens? It repents. We don't argue. It doesn't start citing technicalities and loopholes. True saving faith turns back to God and confesses, yes, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. I'm dead wrong. We ask him to forgive us, not because of what I've done or what you've done, but because of what Jesus, our Savior, has done already for us in our place. See, that's what this whole lesson is about tonight. It's all about repentance. That's the reason our Lord gives this lesson to us. It's about turning our lives around. The Old Testament lesson says, what is it? Life and good and death and evil. Choices. We have choices to make about whether to do good or to do wrong. So there's no loopholes anymore. There never was. It's all about our relationship with our Lord. When our relationship with Christ is right, that truly humble, penitent relationship that looks not at our works, but at the works that Jesus Christ has done for us by giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation. We will be gracious and loving because of the grace and love that he has shown us. Our faith will bear fruit, the pure, faithful fruit of repentant love, fear, and trust in God above all things. The pure salt and light of Christ will be witnessed in our thoughts, words, and our deeds. May God grant this reality in our sinful yet repentant and fully redeemed lives this day and forevermore. May he be seen and heard through you and not in spite of you. Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risk